Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1166. And this is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, another day, another dollar, and here we go. There was, as usual, plenty enough wrestling to watch should you have wanted to. And we had started off mic here talking about the fact that Chris did not watch AEW Collision over the weekend. And boy, this was an episode where I really there are times when I'm watching Dynamite, I'm like, man, I've feel like I missed something missing Collision this week. I did not feel that way about this episode, just because of how it was composed at all. It was there were at least three squash matches, which was weird. I loved the fact that some guy asked who the fuck Bad Dude Tito was. And Brody King, among others, replied and said, "Oh, this guy's awesome." Crowd did not really react like he was awesome, and he got squashed by Kenny Omega. So, in what is a rarity on AEW TV, if you guys were kind of pushing for this guy, he. I mean, it's not his fault that it was a squash match. You know what I mean? Like, it's wrestling. I understand that part.
I don't, when was the last time Kenny Omega had a squash match against a local jobber or what have you? God, have they ever done that?
That's what was wild about this, because they start the show off with it, because it was only 5 minutes long. There are so many of those AEW matches, like, big name versus essentially no name, definitely not someone on their own roster. And it's just like, well, this guy should get squashed. And then it ends up being like a 15-minute match, and you're just sitting there going, huh? And this is kind of funny. This guy gets talked up and then is in a very rare squash match, especially to Kenny Omega, who I guess he was supposed to be a draw for Collision this week, question mark. He always acts like he is a draw, and he definitely talked up his feud at Forbidden Door coming around the corner here. So.
Right. Yeah, my Forbidden Door season, my favorite time of the year. When all these when all these people show up, I don't know who they are. It's rarely adequately explained who they are, and if you ask who they are, some dork on the internet is going to yell at you for not already noting who this person is.
They did actually do a little bit of a video package for whoever Tekla is going to face from Stardom. I'm trying to remember if they were even on the card that we viewed in Las Vegas. I feel like the answer is no. But she seems ready to go for Forbidden Door here. That's better than a lot of times for them. I will give them some level of credit for at least filling in who that person is. But I feel like that was the other thing. Bad Dude Tito, I got a lot more information about him from Twitter slash X than I did from the broadcast.
That's usual,
As
yes.
usual. Yeah, as usual. So, But yeah, and then the end of the night was it was the Death Riders ver oh the only big this was a hook to me of the night. The big happening of the night that will carry over to a Dynamite. The Young Bucks take a loss to the Dogs.
Wow.
I was pretty surprised by that. I was expecting a Young Bucks walkover. Honestly, they do not do a good job of keeping their heels winning in AEW. And this was a rare case. The Dogs get a big dub. I don't know if it's leading to something later down the road here. It was a fairly clean win too, though. It they you know Jay White did not come. No, not Jay White. What's his name? Gabe Kidd did not come back to help or anything of that nature. So you know, I believe there are some underhanded tactics that I believe involved a shillelagh.
There's a gotta have that shillelagh.
Yep. Everyone in Ireland carries a shillelagh, at least in professional wrestling. So, but you know, outside of that, it, especially for AEW, where clean wins are even more rare than they are in the WWE.
Right.
You know, it was on the cleaner side, but yeah, that was kind of interesting. And this the main event was the Death Riders versus Shane Taylor Promotions in a Cincinnati street fight. And this street fight involved Marina Shafir on the Death Riders side and Trish Adora on the Shane Taylor's promotion side. It was one of those usual AEW spectacle brawls. They went into the crowd some. There was lots of unnecessary violence, of course. Less blood than I would have expected, to be honest with you, given the circumstances. And surprise, oh no, it is not a surprise. The Death Riders win this thing because, yeah, Shane Taylor Promotions was not going to get over in this situation.
No, and it's going to be back to ROH or whatever for them after this. There's just no. Again, these people that just you don't
Show
even
up for
see
no
most of the
reason.
time. Just show up, here and there, and it's just like we've never established anything about Shane Taylor or his group that's worth caring about.
I think that you need to throw in this second part. They have definitely talked about that. They've been on TV enough that they've been
Yeah.
talked about. The problem, though, again, is that and the main problem with anyone coming up from ROH is that 9 times out of 10 you're losing, and that's where the that you haven't given us the reason to care about them. Kind of sits like you can tell me that Lee Moriarty is the ROH pure champion, but that does not really hold a whole lot of weight for me,
No, it's really
especially when he's
not
losing
a
on
big deal.
TV when I do see him. So you know, not great, Jim. So yeah, I was a little bit disappointed that the collision kind of seems like a little bit of a nothing burger after for the first time in a while going out of my way to watch Collision. So that leads us back well, at least for the WWE, they're in the United States for the time being here. Good gravy. Whoever had to book all of this, there seems to be a lot of logistics involved. Given that we're, 'cause I'm trying to think of where, SmackDown's supposed to be, because it's supposed to be further west.
I think it's Kansas City.
Yes, Kansas City. And I'm just like, whoo, and you guys got to be, and some of you need to be in London on Monday. That's that's a rough one. But as for this one, Providence, Rhode Island is where the WWE found themselves, and honestly, Baltimore not that far down the East Coast. Definitely not Baltimore to Kansas City here. SmackDown starts us off, and Cody Rhodes Gunther stipulation match is the first thing we get, and it ends up being a running story throughout the show here.
Not much to speak of, and with the opening here, I mean, we're just told that Gunther is not in the arena yet, and Cody is his usual upset about such things because he wants this settled right here right now.
And I mean, we get one appearance by Gunther who doesn't do anything, just tells Nick Aldis that he'll know later. And then honestly, I expected it to come the whole way at the end of the show, but he does make his way back a good time later, after a very important event happens, I suppose, with Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn.
Yes, let's just talk about the main angle here. While we're talking about it, no need to go chronological through the whole show just to get back here. Yeah, Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn have, I guess they're heart to heart in the middle of the ring, and Sami airs his grievances against Cody. A lot of the usual stuff we've heard before, used against Cody, and they're interrupted by Gunther, who early in the night made it clear that his stipulation is a special guest referee, and of course, well, my God, wonder of wonders, the special guest referee will be Sami Zayn.
And
I'm so underwhelmed by all of this. I get that we're heading to Saudi Arabia, so they feel like they need to have Sami Zayn in a featured position. So this whole thing is just screaming a non-finish that leads to a triple threat at Night of Champions. To the point that it's
what?
just like, why do we even bother? Why are we even bothering going through the rest of this dog and pony show?
I mean, they're just trying to drag things out. That is all this is.
I mean, I don't even know. I just right now, I just don't know if anyone in wrestling excites me less than Sami Zayn at this point. I've said it before. I don't even know what you do with him anymore. I don't even think I heel turn's really working. It's just he's just tired. He just in some ways I guess he feels like he just doesn't belong here anymore.
I mean, I guess that could be the case. I do believe I've kind of talked about the fact that he's been one of the few people. He's been pretty lucky in the injury department and has not had to take a break in quite some time at this juncture, because I feel like he had a shoulder injury, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago that
Well,
kept him on
it's
the
probably
show.
longer than that. I think that was before COVID, actually.
So yeah, like I mean, I know that he's had some prolonged absences, but I feel like he's been again like in pretty decent shape in the injury department here.
I
And
mean,
yeah, he's had a lot of TV time and
he has
not
a
a
lot of
lot of
TV
time
time.
off.
No, not a lot of time off. And again, the run he was able to go on between, say, the Johnny Knoxville match, all the way through the whole Bloodline storyline, you could drag it into, him getting to be the first person to beat Gunther on WWE TV and at WrestleMania. A great run. No one can take a run like that away from him. But it's just been it's been a pretty slow decline. But it was a slow decline that really sped up, started speeding up, especially early this year. It's just that, I mean, even the stuff with him and Johnny Gargano has been going on, it feels like forever now. It's like, and it's just the whole Johnny Gargano thing of him just laying like a board, like how does he even get from building to building, like from city to city, like it this is this thing is so stupid. It's just
It's kind of weird. Like it's one of those I suppose it's better to be on TV than not on TV. I'm not sure what an end game for this whole situation is, though.
I mean, I was thinking that Sammy and Johnny are gonna end up a tag team, which I guess
No.
would be fine, I guess. But we're taking the long way to get there, and on the way there, they're doing that thing I hate. I one of those things I hate. Sami Zayn loses his secondary championship, gets a rematch. Loses that too. Somehow a month later he's in the world title picture and go heading towards a main event. I guess we can thank our good friends the Saudis for that.
Yeah, gotta load up. Well, I'm not
Well,
even
it's not
sure
load
if you
up. It's
think
Sammy. It's just how over Sammy is over there.
yeah, I was gonna say, like, I guess I just feel like all of the overseas cards, they're at least trying to make more attractive than a normal SmackDown, even, I would say. And I do feel like they maybe have a better quality if they're doing a PLE over there, that the match quality tends to be a little bit better, 1 through 5, than a typical one, where a typical one, like, 4 and 5 might be just kind of meh, with the top three more interesting.
I mean, this not, they kind of shot themselves in the foot with how much they loaded up Clash in Italy, because now we're gonna show no Roman, no Brock. Cody's main event. We got the King and Queen of the Ring finals, which we'll get into that full deal, and we got the Cody Rhodes title match. And yeah, it definitely feels less than certainly feels less than Clash in Italy.
That card really got a whole lot. And yeah, I mean, you do at least have Obafemi still involved in the King of the Ring. 'Cause, I mean, is there much more to say about Cody in them?
No, there really isn't. This is kind of
And
a
I mean,
paint
we
by
were t
numbers way to build a triple threat match that honestly, I don't think people really want to see. I
No,
don't.
I mean, it's just another way to extend the Cody Rhodes Gunther thing until they actually want to take the title off Cody. Like, I don't think there's any way out of it at this point. Like, if you're stretching this feud out another 2 months at a minimum, like, I feel like Cody at the end of the day is losing it to Gunther, and Gunther will be
They
champion for a
could pull the
decent
trigger.
chunk of time.
They could pull the trigger before they could pull the trigger at Night of Champions. Just because it's triple that doesn't mean they don't have to. Yeah, it's an yeah. I mean,
Oh,
but a lot's gonna depend. Go ahead.
I wouldn't necessarily think it's going to be in the triple threat match. I'm just thinking that Gunther complains his way into a final singles match, like a third one-on-one. And they finish the feud or
Yeah, could very
something
well.
like that. So, like, even another month down the line, like that. Yeah, I really feel like they could stretch this out unless they throw it on like a Sunday night's main event or something wild like
Well,
that. But
we do have a Saturday night's main event. Sunday night's main event's only a one-time only thing in September for some reason apparent.
oh, I thought that that was the next one up. That's why I referenced
No.
that. Misunderstanding on my part then. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we go King and Queen of the Ring. I suppose we can talk if we go chronological here. Charlotte Flair, one of one of the winners out of the four pack challenge here to make it to the semifinals for the Queen of the Ring.
Yeah, I mean, not surprising. I mean, Jade won the whole thing last year. The other two involved weren't gonna win. So yeah, I mean, it's
Yeah.
Charlotte's getting a we're gonna get Charlotte Flair versus Liv Morgan on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, and then this one was wild. Just because even Jade Cargill had to acknowledge it, there was no way around it. This match was all about the wig coming off Jade
Yeah.
Cargill.
It happens. It was unfortunate, but she recovered well.
That is probably the most wrestlery wrestle thing that you could ask for anyone to do is to finish the job under adverse circumstances. Tip of the cap. I feel like she's had two really good matches with Rhea Ripley, and now that Jade Cargill cementing herself in at least being a competent wrestler. So good for
Yeah.
her. Yeah, I feel like we've been getting Blake Monroe vignettes for months on end, and I feel like they keep on saying next week she's gonna debut, and then it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've gotten that vibe, but I mean, she I felt like she announced she was gonna be on TV next week, like a month ago.
I don't think she ever it was ever actually a specific date has ever actually been said, but yeah, no, I get why you feel that way. I get how it feels that way.
Yeah, I don't know. There's Finn Balor running back into Damian Priest. Awkward but fun segment. I felt like, it was one of those
Yeah.
ones they did not forget the past. So I'm good with that. No surprise here. Paige and Bree end up defeating Fallon Henley and Lainey Reid, defending their women's tag team championships here.
I thought it was a non-title match, which was kind of weird why the
Oh, in a non-title. Oh, yeah, it was a non-title match.
it's kind of weird how the champions. They are very committed to this Brie Bella Page team. I imagine that a lot of it is waiting until Nikki is cleared to in order for this thing to really move forward.
Yeah, it still seems really awkward. I think I've talked to both you and Jeremy about this at this point. I know that in real life Brie and Paige are friends. I'm not quite sure why in every promo they do together they do not seem like they're friends.
Yeah, no. We read that before. There's no chemistry here,
I don't get it.
and they're just and they're and meanwhile again, because we're apparently waiting for Nikki to get back in order to before we run any kind of a big angle with them. They're just rustling other teams and better teams and winning.
Yeah, and it's the first real well, no, I guess Fatal Influence here has had a couple of shiners the last couple of weeks after having a stellar debut with
Yeah,
JC Jane losing and now Fallon and Lainey Reid taking an
this
L.
the I wouldn't this was yeah, I mean I get and whatever, JC Jane not winning her four way since if I remember correctly she wasn't pinned, but
Oh.
this is this yeah th this is a completely unnecessary loss to have Fallon and Lainey take. Yeah, this was this is
Yeah, this is
not good.
one where you legitimately use the local talent if you want Brie and Paige to have a nice little win for themselves. But I don't. I feel like the days of that happening in the WWE are gone. Or am I wrong? Like, I can't think of someone that I'm like, huh? Like, I've done that definitely for AEW. But I don't feel like I've seen too much that level of enhancement talent. Maybe for an Oba squash match?
They haven't really done that with Oba either. No, they haven't. Yeah, we haven't really done complete squash matches in a minute.
Yeah, or at least if they do them, it's someone actually on their roster. Like one of these poor. I kind of forgot that Angel and Berto were even on TV this week, thanks to
Yeah.
Danhausen. And boy, he got a nice video package, Housen.
Oh, he's got multiple. He got another one on Raw as well. Yes.
Oof, man, that guy has really made the best of this moment.
He really has.
It is really wild what has gone on that any of his segments are always memorable. I will suppose put it that way. And this week, evidently. The Miz has gone comatose. Maybe that's not the right word.
He's been electrified back into his previous catchphrases.
Yeah, 'cause what did he call it like 2016 Miz catchphrases or something like that? And I'm just like, oh my God, 10 years
Oh, he went
ago, what?
further. He went back further than that. I think I think he I think
Was
he even see he even did a hoorah. God only knows
that
last time. Time he did that.
oh my gosh, yeah, I got a kick out of that, and then Kit Wilson again, Danhausen warning them not listening and them getting sizzled. Always good comic relief. Always good
Yes,
comic
always
relief.
good.
Yep. Cody and Rey Fénix versus Axiom for the AAA Cruiserweight Championship. Fun match. Ultimately, though, kind of in the AEW category here. Although I guess they've
Oh,
made me
very
care
AEW.
about the they have at least made me care about AAA more than AEW's made me care about whatever brand they're crossing over with.
You mean CMLL, the world's oldest wrestling promotion?
Yes, CMLL. Not as interested in CMLL as I am
No.
in AAA. That is
No.
a pretty easy one there. Even mask versus mask aside, like There are other things. The fact that Ray Phoenix gets to do his thing, I'm always happy for him. I've always liked him. Axiom can do a lot of the same things. So I enjoyed the match, but I'm not sure what it all adds up to really in the end. Little Yachty evidently just has copious amounts of time to continue showing up on
He
SmackDown
apparently does. This is just his job now. He
Trickler. Much
just
like
works here
Logan
now.
Paul, he just works here now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's what he wants to do. Go fine.
I guess speaking of three ways, well, it doesn't look like we're gonna have a three way right away, but Ricky Saints and Carmelo Hayes looking to be the next challenger for the US Championship of Trick Williams here.
Yeah, I'm not into this. I mean, I just we have already, defined everyone involved, except for Trev, of course. Defined the other two down so much. I mean, it's that it's what who was it last year that was just wrestling week after week after week? It was Carmelo Hayes
Oh,
and somebody, wasn't it?
Dragunov.
Yeah, even before they had the US title. Yeah, that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
It's kind of it's
wrestled like probably a half dozen times, all told. You know, pre-championship, one had the championship, the other had the championship. A couple of rematches with championship, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. You know, it
yeah.
was probably like five or six matches altogether with those two. And yeah, they seem to be doing a very similar playbook here with Carmelo Hayes and Ricky Saints here.
Yeah, except Ricky Saints isn't it isn't Ilya Dragunov. Yeah, I'm getting to be in the camp of people who think, yeah, Ricky's getting exposed as being nothing special.
It's going to be interesting. Just putting him in this feud and pointing and Trick Williams pointing out that he has the same deficiencies as Carmelo Hayes is
Yeah, that it's
really not going to help that narrative. You know, like that definitely
no.
helps your argument that this is just kind of a bad spot. Like, it is kind of like, oh my gosh. Like, he is, again, like, I definitely think that he has added some muscle in his NXT days. It feels like he needs to add more to be more main roster. You know, like, he is definitely amongst those who are a little more vertically challenged.
I'm not even sure which of the who did the two you're even talking about right now. Because it could
Ricky
go either
Saints,
way. Ricky
mostly
Saints, oh
Ricky
yes.
Saints. Like I feel like we've gone over it with Carmelo Hayes, and
Yeah.
I mean, even when I talked to Shahid the last time, he's just like, "Man was just born 3 inches too short." The like I mean even he's like I don't know what you know like I don't know what to
Yeah.
tell you like
Oh.
he's just not quite tall enough
If
and
he was,
Ricky
yeah, if
Saints is a couple inches taller than Carmelo Hayes but it's still wild it is still one of those the main roster is still a lot of really tall guys
it
or at
is.
least
And
some people that are six. I at least 6 foot tall, or you know, 6'2", and that's kind of tall, like as an overall.
yeah, Trick just towering over everybody. And Ricky Saints just has a terrible moveset for a guy his size. He has like the world's worst looking spear, but he insists on. Actually, they may have finally taken the spear away from him because. Obviously that's Roman Reigns' move, of course, but And then what is the thing that what are they? See, I forget. Did they call it the Rochambeau or something?
Yes,
Where
the
he puts the guy over his
Rochambeau.
shoulder and just and you know reverse power slams him. It's like, dude, you can't do that to like 90% of this roster. What are you doing with a power move finish?
Yeah, neither, because I feel like wasn't the Rochambeau more of a kind of like side Samoan drop in AEW? Or was has it always been the reverse power slam situation?
It may have been the reverse power slam. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember his. But who
Well,
knows? Maybe his AEW finish is already somebody else's finish on the main roster, so we had to do something else. And it's just like, these guys are just too small and just, Hayes had something going in for himself with the US title. They took it off of him.
yeah,
And
Sami Zayn derailed him,
yeah,
and
Sami Zayn, yes.
he has not made a comeback since.
No, and now the US title is on the person Carmelo would be
He was
if he was
3 inches
taller. Yeah,
taller.
yes. Well, more than 3 inches taller in that respect.
Oh,
7 or 8 inches
yeah.
taller. Yeah. There's
Yeah,
no hope.
true.
There's no hope. There's no hope getting past that for Carmelo right now. Yeah, Trix. Trix getting the rocket strapped to him. The U.S. title, is the highest Carmelo Hayes could ever hope to achieve. The U.S. title is just the first stepping stone for Trix.
That is a good way to put it, and a good way to put that segment to bed too. Was not mentioned earlier here, but Tiffany Stratton seems to be a little bit all over the place, and also interesting, her and Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green continuing to defend Miss Stratton in all situations here. Tag team match or even backstage here.
Oh yeah. Chelsea is supporting her best friend. Why wouldn't she support her best friend?
I don't know why, but this segment this week, I'm like, oh, did she pitch a version of the Hot Mess to WWE management? And this is what we're turning into now.
Could be something like that, yeah. But I just
So,
what is this a legitimate face turn, or is she just trying to sucker Tiffany in so she can take her US title back?
I suppose we will find out here. I guess I wouldn't mind the baby face turn. Why not? It'd give Chelsea something different to do, in a very similar kind of way, because I still feel like it's gonna be more comedy match than anything else,
Yeah.
with her. So, it was I guess not completely surprising here that poor Chelsea is the one that ends up eating the pin in this match, and B-Fab and Meechin end up winning this thing for the baddies.
Wow,
Or
Meechin and B-Fab get to win a match. Good for them.
yep.
B-Fab didn't even screw anything up for incredibly in this match. So, baby steps.
Yep. Kiana James and Julia getting some backstage scratch here and getting some a little bit of character development where they really did not have any when they were teaming together. They just seemingly left them on their own. But now that they're breaking them apart, I think it's for the best, question mark.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, nothing. Yeah. They're still kind of talking back and forth. Usually with people at their level, when they have a breakup, we get the match very, very quickly, and we're not quite getting it yet.
Oh.
And that's, you know what? It's kind of an intriguing match when it happens, because that's gonna tell a lot about how they feel about particularly Julia.
It is pretty wild. I mean, they have really talked up Kiana James, or at least Michael Cole, when he has announced her matches, has really talked her up. TV time would tell you otherwise, in my opinion, where again, her and Julia just have not gotten a lot of time until this breakup, in my opinion. And I feel like Julia has really started to make a stronger push for herself post Italy, in Italy and post Italy,
Yeah, this is,
as things have moved along here.
and I do think that a loss would hurt, which is what I said, just what I said, a loss would hurt Julia a lot more. And it would definitely stamp that they don't see much in her at this point.
Oh,
That proverbial,
yeah.
they feel like they were sold a bill of goods as far as how great she's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought that, still think that there's a little bit of underinvestment on their on the main roster's behalf.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna say there isn't.
But
There hasn't been.
Also, yeah, sometimes there's a reason for that. Hey, sometimes it just takes a few years for that to come to fruition. Who knows?
It really does.
Yeah, more Cody, and I guess end of the night here. Did not really talk about the last, I believe, men's four-way matchup here for the King of the Ring, Jey Uso versus LA Knight versus Royce Keyes versus Finn Balor. And because Solo Sikoa was involved throughout the night with the Bloodline storyline, which really dominated a lot of Raw too. Jacob Fatu came over and offered a spot for Solo to come back into the Bloodline on SmackDown.
Yes, he did, because God knows when you have a main event storyline, you need Solo Sikoa in it.
Yeah, not completely sure which way this goes. And I'm not sure that I like either direction. If Solo stays his own entity, I don't care. If Solo gets added to the Bloodline, I feel like they're gonna get treated as the afterthought, and I'm still not gonna care. I don't see a good surprise behind door number one or door number two. But Solo definitely involved. He ends up Samoan spiking LA Knight,
Yeah,
I believe.
he someone smoked LA Knight, and which then led to Jey Uso victory,
Yep.
which surprised me. I was not thinking going I was thinking going to this match that LA Knight would win, but nope. We're going forward with the idea that Jey Uso is moving forward, and really, it feels like he's going to the finals, because I don't see it in with Javon Evans. It would just be too much too soon. Plus, there's just nothing between with him and Oba, that you can really do at this point. With Jay, you at least have the element of there's the other bloodline members running, potentially running interference.
Yes. The
And it gets you to, and it gets you a bridge to Owen Roman Reigns.
yes, it does. Definitely gives him more of a reason to go after Reigns than to go after Cody.
Yeah.
If the Bloodline tries to cost him the King of the Ring, so.
Now there's a, I mean, I guess we can kind of, since we're just already on the subject, well, I guess let's talk about the Raw main event first. I mean, it wasn't much. I mean, it was like 5 minutes. Big surprise, everybody. Obafemi defeated Dominic Mysterio. Interesting, really interesting part is afterward, Oba taking the microphone and still calling out Brock Lesnar.
Four and a half minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
It was kind of interesting that Brock Lesnar was name dropped
Yeah,
during this segment.
and Oba actually, bringing up that, other people would think, okay, if Oba's not going to the King of the Ring finals, then it's going to be because Brock Lesnar shows up and interferes, or at least causes a distraction to get him counted out. That didn't happen here. Oba's in the King of the Ring finals. And as we've mentioned, he's likely, that's okay. So he's in this tournament. He's in the finals of this tournament to get a title match at SummerSlam. But he's also still calling out Brock Lesnar, who, as we all know, is in a hometown boy situation in SummerSlam and is, of course, going to be in a very key match.
Oh.
And we've also now established that
And we have a two-night
Jay's winning.
SummerSlam too.
Yeah, we've got a two-night SummerSlam. Could we get Obafemi doing double duty? You could do it. Or somehow
It is
Brock gets added as a
possible.
triple th or Brock gets added as a triple threat. You could go in that direction too, I guess. Or Jey Uso wins King of the Ring and does and challenges Cody Rhodes. And Roman has an unknown opponent at this point, at this juncture. Or Jey challenges Roman again, but we've been down that road and it wasn't that great. So, yeah, it's a very.
No, and it would be weird for him to turn on someone again, like right away, like you're
Yeah, no,
back in the fold and you turn again. Like,
we've
no,
just put this
please.
back together, which then means now that we can now go all the way back to the first segment, now that we're talking about Jey Uso and the Bloodline, and speak about Roman Reigns and the Bloodline opening the show. Roman essentially establishing that, he is 100% backing Jacob in the Bloodline. He basically saying it's okay that Jacob doesn't listen to the Usos, which much to the Usos' chagrin, particularly Jay's.
Hothead Jay does already, I guess, kind of have a reason to not like Roman. He's definitely looking for the respect a little bit more than Jimmy is. Like, I feel like Jimmy's like, really, dude? Like, you're not
Jimmy
gonna
has
do
been
us a
he
solid like that to Roman, like.
they've Jimmy and Jay have alternated that role over the years of being the more thoughtful versus the hot-headed one. But I do think that typically it's maybe more than that been Jimmy in the In the cooler head role, in the cooler head role.
Oh yeah, that has
Again,
definitely been established over the last,
I mean, all it's
bloodline time frame, I would say.
right, yeah, and but I just this whole Bloodline thing, it's just they just behave like such assholes. But they get so cheered at this point. Like, there's nothing they can do wrong. There's nothing, particularly Roman and Jay, can do wrong at this point.
Yes, though Eric Andre should not have
Yes.
played with the Ula Fala. Yeah, Ula Fala.
It's still an Ulafala, even though that's supposed to only be worn by the tribal chief. So, but I don't know my cultural Ulafala rules here.
And
Yes.
it was definitely a different make than the
Yes.
one that Roman Reigns wears. Not red, definitely a different plant. I don't know what it's supposed to
Yeah, I
be.
don't know, but as
I'll
we were
go with
saying,
plant.
yes.
Maybe it's a fruit. Something.
One Eric Andre got a little too touchy with Jacob Fatu and paid the price. Jacob Fatu was about to go to the top rope. Roman Reigns first stops him and then tells him it's okay to go. Jacob comes down with a big splash. Interesting that they've now transitioned Jacob to a big splash from a moonsault. It's definitely more impactful that way, but it's also Bronson Reed's finish. So that'll be interesting, how they manage that when Reed comes back, if Fatu is still doing a top rope splash.
It's a fair question.
Yeah, and then
I feel like that time's going to be sooner rather than later. Bronson Reed definitely seems to be upping his posting on social media here recently.
yes, he is. He's looking good.
Yeah.
So, and then we got. Then, as the bloodline is working their way back up, Roman decides that Jacob should come off the top onto Eric Andre again. And again, the crowd is going crazy. This for this whole thing, this this the
Yes.
civilian is the civilian has just been squashed, and everyone is cheering.
It's really like that. That was the one segment where I'm like, I don't know what you do. Like, I feel like they're
It's
trying to get them booed here in this
I don't know
situation.
what it is, because all their
But
enemies are
no.
also are all their enemies are also baby faces at this point. Particularly LA Knight. It's just like they're not even turning their venom onto another heel faction or anything of the sort, or there's no heel challenging the blood challenging Roman and the Bloodline right now. And why not? Since
Yeah.
we're late in the show, let's might as well just go. Maybe we can force forward a little bit to the Jey Uso, to the excuse me, Jimmy Uso LA Knight segment. Roman Reigns said he wanted the LA Knight situation handled, and Jimmy stepped up to handle the situation, try to handle the situation delicately, which led, of course, to Jey Uso coming down, not handling the situation delicately.
No,
And
delicacy
LA
not
Knight was of
his
course not
bag.
going to LA Knight of course was not going to back down either. We get a bit of a schmoz, but once again, no matter what, Jimmy's still trying to keep things as peaceful as possible, even as he got knocked down.
Yeah, he keeps on being the first one to get popped by an errant something or another. In these segments, even while he's trying to be the peacekeeper,
Yep,
whether it's
and then he gets a chair he gets a chair shot for from LA Knight for his troubles. Leading, of course, to Jacob Fatu showing up, putting the thonging death grip on LA Knight, and putting him down on behalf of his tribal chief. And again, the babyface champion is ordering his enforcer, which is just something a babyface should not have. To take out his rivals, who's also another baby face, a very popular baby face. This is gonna, yeah. If we get down to Roman and Obafemi it's just gonna be very interesting just to see how the dynamic plays out with who gets cheered and who whatnot, because it's a pure heel story. Roman is going to be throwing his army after Obafemi. Week in and week out until we get there.
Yeah, it is really, really wild that the crowd is still on board for, 'cause yeah, I mean OTC chants all the time. They are definitely on the Bloodline side. There's reason why Adam Pearce just can be exasperated every week.
Well, not according to LA Knight. According to LA Knight, he's in bed with them and just lets them do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, he always acts incredulous. I'll give him that much. If you feel like running with a conspiracy theory, that is a real possibility here. Yeah, it's wild what is happening there. 'Cause yeah, LA definitely a good guy. He's not getting booed himself though.
No, not really, no.
But everyone seems to be happy that he's getting beat up, so that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to talk about? 'Cause really the next thing up was Ova and Dominic, which we talked about already.
Yeah,
Because
no, I mean. Well, I
there
mean,
wasn't
we had the women's
couple
tournament
of things.
semifinal as well.
Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah, which
Oh,
saw Io Sky defeating Raquel
that
Rodriguez for I don't even know how many times Io has defeated Raquel at this
well,
point.
no, that was one of the sales points they actually did
Oh
in
yeah,
this, is that
In the last match they had again before this, yes, Raquel did win, yes.
yeah,
But every other
Raquel
match before
actually.
that.
No, I actually feel like it was like 4-1 and on Raquel's behalf or something wild like that. It was what they were selling, I want to say, the previous week. I'm not sure that they mentioned it this week, but I feel like I remember that from last week. I'm like, oh, that is kind of because it was in Raquel's backstage promo the previous week. And I was just like, that is a little bit surprising. It was it at least three, if not four wins. But again, I guess I was not expecting Raquel Rodriguez to be queen of the ring.
I
It
mean, there's a
feels like,
story in if the final would turn out to be her and Liv,
oh yeah.
but they didn't go in that direction. And again, I don't know when we're getting any kind of movement with any kind of a breakup with the female members of the Judgment Day. It doesn't
Yeah,
feel.
they keep on hinting, you know, it's another one of those where they're just constantly teasing that there's going to be something happening with that situation. And, 'cause yeah, I mean, Roxanne and Liv, while this week's segment wasn't contentious, you kind of tell that Roxanne's just playing along with Liv, or you know, like I feel like they're both trying to double cross each other.
Yeah, they're all essentially are at this point. I don't think Raquel singles babyface has any legs at all. So I am kind of hoping in the end it is Raquel and Roxanne turning against Liv if we're going to do anything at all.
Oh. Yeah. That would make some sense. I think Liv is popular enough that you could spin her off into the babyface camp. Roxanne does a pretty
Yeah.
good bitchy.
She does. She has grown into that role.
Yeah, there was that. Speaking of Liv Morgan, she did try to seduce Danhausen on Monday night and
Yeah.
failed.
Yeah,
He
she did fail, and
was just
but she
interested
was
in the
willing.
human monies.
Yes, that which is strange. His ass. We're not outrageous or anything. So she was willing to sleep with him, but she wasn't willing to pay him any money.
Or put him in a video. Like, you didn't need to make him the feature of the video. Just put him in the video. Just.
That was kind of a weird segment like that. I'm like, wait. So wait, you were to sleep with him? But he's just asking for money. You're disappointed? Or that's just too much for you?
Yeah, that's a bridge too far. Oh man. So yeah, that was pretty funny. And Danhausen gets his Nixhausen video package after that too. The man is everywhere. Man is everywhere. And yeah, what the oh Chad Gable seems to be at least at this point capitalizing on the mask versus mask match hype.
He is. He really is. Yeah, he is. El Grande Americano, not essentially currently being allowed to on the main roster, but of course he's got his AAA stardom, and that he's going to be essentially at this point. I guess he's going to be more AAA going forward because he still has that title match in his back pocket that he's probably not getting until at least September at this point against Dom.
I cannot blame them for letting him draw down there in Mexico,
Oh,
given
absolutely.
what I have witnessed. It's just like, yeah, this seems like the right financial move. Like.
Yeah, it definitely is. They need someone to be their guy you down there, and he absolutely 100% is at this point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Chad Gable gets to come away as the good guy in this,
Yeah,
and
they are doing a really good job with it. Yeah.
now he's really legitimately in with the luchadors. Because Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee come out to make the save after he gets the win over Rusev this week. So good on Chadrick.
Very good.
Oh, and we did have the actual Austin Theory talking to. Oh, why did her name just completely blank out of
Maxine
my
Dupree.
yeah, Maxine Dupri, right before Chad Gable came out for the match. So they made that very obvious this week.
Yeah, no.
I feel like they had had
We're
it
event. We're
before, but
go.
they're renewing that again here for sure.
We're getting a Chad Gable Alpha Academy segment very soon. In particular, of course, Chad and Otis need to reconcile, it seems.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They are definitely letting that possibility hang out there.
And Maxine is in the midst of a yet another one of Triple H's very long tease turns from somebody. That just goes on and on and on and on and on before he finally pulls the trigger.
And I don't care. Like one way or the other, like I just it's just Maxine. Like, I don't think she's bad at her job, but I also, yeah, whether she's going to serve the same function with Alpha Academy or with the Vision.
Yeah.
I don't think Paul Heyman's going to turn her into a heavyweight championship contender at all times in the women's division. Like, I just don't feel like that would be a storyline. Maybe they could make that a storyline.
Maybe they
I
can.
don't
Maybe they
know.
can.
But I just don't have a lot of faith in Maxine having an increased role should she move factions.
Yeah.
We did get a lot of Braun Breaker and Seth Rollins on the night here. Yeah, I mean that feud is still ongoing here.
Yeah.
You know, I guess there wasn't a lot to say really about their segments. Like, I just kind of felt like they kind of were what they were.
Yeah.
Yep. Charlotte does end up beating Roxanne later in the night. No, that was just a match. That's right, because Charlotte was already in one of the semifinals for Queen of the Ring. This was just taking care of some extra business here.
Yeah, this was just yeah, this was me Roxanne trying to wear Charlotte down for Liv. Things didn't quite work out that way. Some awkward spots in this match with the size difference. Towards the end, especially that the whole small package reverse set that got really messy.
And that was really
Because
awkward.
one yes, because one person in the match is so much longer than the other person even lying down.
Yeah. Small package finish. Maybe not the best when you have two very different height opponents here.
Yeah, it's nearly a 1 foot difference, I believe. So yeah, that's a lot to overcome.
Yes, it is. Mentioned the vision a little bit. They end up offering a spot to Javon Evans. Javon summarily turns him down, and I am unsurprised by this action.
Yeah, not a lot of benefits to joining the Vision right now. Now, exactly, I'm not sure exact. I think it could happen because we did get the Javon Evans heel tease a couple weeks back,
Oh, they're trying to they're
but then
definitely
wasn't.
trying to toughen him up some.
Yeah, they definitely are, and if he. If he becomes victim to Bloodline shenanigans on SmackDown, that could be his motivation to eventually accept the offer.
Yeah, I think that might be the most interesting thing about this is whether Austin Theory and Logan Paul try to recruit him another time after such an event.
Yeah,
You know,
definitely.
like are they going to revisit this, or is this the or is this just a means to an end of having a match between Logan Paul and Javon Evans?
You mean Javon Evans and Austin Theory?
Oh, Austin Theory. Yeah.
Yeah, Logan Paul, I think, still some time away, but he's going to be back on television.
Yeah, he gets to be one of those people who's just like, yeah, we like you with the mic in the hand. So, even though you're injured, if you feel like showing up, sure. We'll
Well, I mean, right now,
pay you and keep you. Hey, I think it's great. You know, keep
I
your
think it's
face
great.
on
It's
TV.
fantastic. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Yeah, great if you can do that. Yeah, and right now the Vision is without their mouthpiece because Heyman is selling his injury from the previous week's match,
Oh,
which
yeah, and he really should too.
yeah, he should not be taking spears and then popping back up a week later. No.
We did get Braun Breaker involved in this match and spearing the young OG to cause the DQ in this bad boy
Yes.
here.
Leading to the
So.
Street Profits making the save and a tag team championship match next week, which, because there's no real longevity, if Logan Paul is going to be out of action for quite some time, and there's obviously, of course, no longevity to a Bron Breakker Austin Theory tag team, we could get a title change next week.
I would not be surprised if the Street Profits are in line for another
Yeah, since
championship
the
reign.
Street Profits continue to win another tag team championship and still not break up even after so what seems feels like 2 years of being TOTs.
And really to not a whole lot of fanfare. I mean, we've talked about how
Yeah.
bad the tag team division is in WWE. It's like
It's yeah, tag team wrestling not necessarily great right now. I forgot to say it too.
yeah.
Over on SmackDown this week, we're going to be getting another Truth and Priest versus MFT match, for goodness sakes.
You didn't really need to remind me about that on the way out of here, Chris. Really,
No, yeah.
really did not.
That's just something to look forward to discuss next week.
Yep. Bell time beer for the show here. This is one that I feel like might have been in the fridge for a while. Sonder Brewing out of Mason, Ohio. Down near Kings Island and whatnot. This is their Blackberry You Betcha Hoppy and Hazy New England IPA. Because there's blackberry involved, it also tastes like a sour somewhat because blackberries are naturally sour. So there's a little bit of hop, there's a little bit of sour. There's a lot of goodness. Sonder Brewing is very tasty. Should one find themselves down in that vicinity of the world, which is down in the Cincinnati area, go to their brewery. Good food, good beer too. That is Bell Time Beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. The brand is at Sun Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.